hope y'all ate just as much food as I did, which was way too much. We had a good time with family, though, and I hope that y'all did the same with your family. It's good to be able to get together and be able to see people that you don't see normally throughout the year, so I hope that you enjoyed your time with that. Hope y'all got some time off of work. For y'all that didn't, I'm sorry. That's all I can say about that. I'm sorry. But I hope you had a good time during Thanksgiving. I hope you were thankful for the things that God's done in your life. More than anything, be thankful for what God has done in your life. And don't forget that. And it shouldn't just be one time a year that you think about those things. It should be continuously in your mind what God has done for you and how you are for those things. This morning, into our dispensational studies on the spokesman. And we're going to kind of hit a few of them. I'm not sure how far we'll get with it. I'm going to try to finish all this up. And then once I get through with the spokesman, we'll figure out a different route to go probably for a little while just to kind of break up the monotony of things, because we've been in this one for quite some time. And I do have a few more places to go with this. We've been through some of the Old Testament stuff. We're going to get into the Gospels today. We'll probably get into the readiest tribulational period today also. So we'll just see how far we can get when it comes to all this. The spokesman of the Gospels. God's spokesman throughout the four Gospels is initially John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord. However, the main spokesman throughout the books are the Lord and His apostles. The Bible reveals the Lord's earthly ministry until we get to the beginning of the book of Acts. Once the Lord ascends into heaven in Acts chapter 1, God focuses on Peter, the leader of the apostles, to reveal His message. That's pretty clear, right? We've been through most of these things before, but these are the specific spokesmen that we're going through. So the Gospels is pretty simple. You have the Gospels and you have Jesus Christ. It's His earthly ministry, and He is the main point of the Gospels, okay? You get to see His whole entire life laid out there, and you get to see what happens. You get to see the Gospel that He's preaching, and you get to see all these things develop. And then you get to see you, of course, get to see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is one of the best parts of the Gospels. I agree. You agree. Some of y'all don't agree because you're still asleep. I understand. But the spokesman in the Gospels is, of course, mainly Jesus. But yes, it is John, and then you have Peter, and you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in there too. So those are the spokesmen for the Gospels. Now we're going to get into the readiness and tribulational period. I told you before that dispensations gets a little controversial, right? Okay, it gets controversial in a couple of different places. Most everybody will agree, if you grow up Baptist and you are Baptist and all that good stuff and you believe the Word of God, most people will agree that there's a difference in the Old Testament and New Testament. They'll agree with those things, okay? There's a few places that it changes. One is the Gospels, and we've talked about that already, okay? One is the Gospels. Some people are a little more dispensational than others when you get to the Gospels. You know where I stand on that. I've already explained it. I'm not going to go back through it again right now, but I've already explained where I stand when it comes to the Gospels, okay? You kind of have to make your mind up where you stand on that. The other one is the tribulational period of time. I'm going to tell you where I stand, okay? There's three specific things that you can believe tribulationally, okay? Three things. You can be pre-tribulation, you can be mid-tribulation, or you can be post-tribulation. There's three specific things that you can go with, okay? I am a pre-tribulational believer. I believe that we will not go through the tribulation a period of time. I believe that we will ascend out of here. We're going to get out of here. We're going to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds and all these things. I believe that, okay? I find that in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Now, we're not going to read this, but I'm not going to go into a study on the tribulation, okay? Not going to do that. I will do that at probably some point in time, but because of what I'm trying to go through, not going to go through that right now, okay? I'm not going to read all the different scriptures. I do know what dispensation Matthew 24 is in, and I do know what Matthew 13 is talking about, okay? And I understand exactly what dispensation those belong in. So, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go read them. I'm not going to do all the study for you. At some point in time, you got to study for yourself a little bit, okay? I know exactly what they say. I know exactly what dispensation they belong in, okay? I got that. You're not going to try to change my mind on post-tribulation versus pre-tribulation versus mid-tribulation. Mid-tribulation one really gets me. I do not understand that one very much at all. Everybody that I've talked to that has that point of view, that one really throws me off. I totally understand where you can be a post-tribulational person. I understand where you get some scripture for that, even though you have to take it out of context to get it, okay? You have to take the word out of God. You have to take it out of context, because you can't be dispensational if you're going to sit there and say, if you say you're dispensationalist, you cannot be a post-tribulational person. You cannot be that way. It's impossible. So I understand what the word of God says, okay? You're not going to change my mind on that. I've read it. I've studied it. I know what I believe. Here's the thing. You have to figure out what you believe. And I've told you before, you don't have to agree with me. Everybody, you remember that, right? Okay. Everybody, I'd make sure. You don't have to agree with me on everything. That's fine. But you better be able to back it up with the Word of God. That's what I want you to be able to do. And you have to rightly divide it, because that's what 2 Timothy tells you to do with it. So you can't just take it and make it fit however you want to without rightly dividing it. And the people that'll get there, they'll get this one in their mind, they'll say, well, dispensationist things, that dispensational thing doesn't make sense to me. Well, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. It's in the Word of God. It's right there. So anybody that tries to tell you dispensation ain't in the Word of God, guess what? It's right there. Take them to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. You clear that argument up real quick, like, okay? The other thing that people are going to get on you about in tribulational talk is you're going to say you believe in the rapture. We talked about this week at work. You got a guy that he's not as dispensationally sound as I am. He believes his dispensation goes all the way through Jude. That's cool. It's wrong, but it's cool. You can think that way if you want to. But if you're going to think it goes through Jude, then tell me what you do with Hebrews and James, where it says you have to endure to the end and you can start forfeiting your salvation. So do you believe Ephesians 4:30 sealed to the day of redemption, or do you believe that you can forfeit it all of a sudden? There's a difference. Study to show thyself approved unto God? Yeah. You got to do that. You got to look at the whole thing. I asked him at work, I said, why would you say that? I said, and then what do you do with Hebrews, and what do you do with James, and what do you do with 1 Peter when you start talking about all these different gospels that they're preaching, all these different things that don't line up with what Paul taught, which is what we believe is the church age, right? And he'll say that his salvation's in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's right. But if your salvation is found by what Paul preaches in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then why are you going to go to James to get it? Why are you going to go to Hebrews and get it? Well, Paul wrote Hebrews. I already told you my point of view on that one, right? Yeah. Doesn't matter whether they did or whether they didn't. Guess what? It still don't fit with Romans through Philemon. It's still different. It's still different. You can't go to 1 Peter and get your gospel either. That's a big one. That's a big one now. 1st and 2nd Peter is going to confuse a whole lot of people. Because they're going to say Peter preaches the same gospel Paul did. Why? Because they were in the same time period, right? Who did Peter go to? Peter went to the Jews, didn't he? He went to the Jews. Who did Paul go to? He went to the Gentiles, didn't he? At some point in time, Peter and Paul both went to both of them, right? At the beginning. And guess what? They split. Why'd they split? You ever thought maybe they didn't agree? I had a guy tell me this the other day, too. He said, you know, I resonate with Peter. So that sounds cool, because Peter was a very carnal Christian. Just read it. Just read 1 and 2 Peter. Read through Acts. He's a very carnal Christian. He's not preaching the exact same gospel Paul's preaching. It does not fit. It will not fit. Study it for yourself, okay? You have to look at these things for yourself to understand what the Word of God is telling you. So when you get in tribulation, they'll sit there and they're going to throw this at you. You believe in the rapture. I believe in a rapture. Amen. Guess what? It ain't in the Bible. The word rapture is not in the Bible. And they're going to throw that one at you. Here's my best response. Bible ain't in it either. But you believe it, right? The Bible ain't found in the Bible. Not one time. Rapture is the word that we use for the calling away, catching up. That's what rapture is used for. Don't try to be Mr. Smart Guy. Don't make the Bible more complicated than what it is, okay? That's one thing I don't understand why people always got to, they've got to be smarter than everybody else. To the point that they get to be smarter than the Word of God. Because that's what they do. You see, I don't want to be smarter than the Word of God. I just want to believe what the Word of God says fully. That's all I want to do. I don't want to change it. I don't want to make it fit. I don't want to try to have to morph something and try to make it fit my way that I think will be better to preach it that, because that's what they've done, okay? That's what's happened. We had to preach it a certain way because it fit better that way. And if you don't believe me, go listen to preachers. Go listen to them online, okay? You can go look up some on YouTube. Go listen to them. They'll preach something different. And not only that, the same preacher will preach something different. Look it up. Go listen to him. Go listen to a preacher, and he'll get up there, man, and he'll just be... And I'm talking about Bible-believing preachers, okay? Independent Baptist. The ones that call themselves fundamental. We'll get on that word one day. Y'all gonna really like that. I'm gonna get off that one. Oh, I've been making somebody mad already. But you can get off in there. You can sit there and you can get all these people that sit there and talk about how they're independent. King James only. Most of them can't tell you why they believe King James Bible is the Word of God anyway. Amen. You ought to go find you one and ask them. They're not gonna be able to give you real answers. They're just gonna be able to just say, well, it's this. And they don't really have an answer for it. That's just the way they work. But they preach different gospels too. You'll sit there and you'll see them go over into the gospels and they'll want to preach all that stuff in John and all that stuff in Matthew and all that stuff in Mark, and they'll want it to fit the way that Paul made it fit. Guess what? It don't work that way. Either you're going to preach Paul's gospel or you're going to preach the apostles' gospel. Guess what? There's two different ones. It says it. It says the apostles had their own gospel. It's different. So tribulation shouldn't scare you, okay? I don't really care what point of view you take. I really don't. If you want to go through all 7 years, endure the end, baby. Get it. If you want to go through half, guess what? Do that. Enjoy yourself for half of it. I'm going to get out on the first load, all right? The first one that comes, I'm gone. And I got enough scripture to back it. You ain't got enough scripture to back the other way. I've done been through those arguments, all right? I know what they say. I know what they act like. I'm just here to tell you, you ain't got enough for it. You don't. But I will say this. If you want to take that point of view, then you cannot be a dispensationalist. Okay? So, at this point in time, you can shut me off for the next little bit. That's about the way it works. I don't mean to make you mad. I don't mean to make you upset. But I'm here to tell you right now, if you don't believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, then you can't be a dispensationalist. It's impossible. It's very impossible. All right, the spokesman in the readiness and tribulation appear. I'm moving on now, right? Have I made everybody mad? Because y'all act like it. I've been trying to strike a nerve. I think I found one. Maybe I have to go back to that tribulational thing next week. The tribulation will occur sometime after the church is removed from the earth and taken to heaven. During the tribulation, God will use spokesmen just as at other times. God's spokesmen will be the two witnesses mentioned in the book of Revelation. Any person who wants to know the directives of God must listen to his two witnesses who will give God's specific message for that time period. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. The Bible says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. The two witnesses, who are Moses and Elijah, will prophesy for 1,260 days, one half of the tribulational period, or 3.5 years, in addition to the two witnesses. The 144,000 Jewish male virgins will also be there." Now, I want to go back to that, the two witnesses. I believe the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. There is some people that don't agree with that. So here's what I'm going to do for you, okay? I'm not going to get into that because that's going to trail me off in a different direction, and I don't want to go down that direction yet. So here's what I'm going to do. If you are interested in knowing that the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah, then I'm going to give you some scriptures, and you can write them down right now, okay? If anybody's interested in looking at that and studying that, I'll give you some scriptures for it, and I'm going to give you some scriptures in order to read them. There is a few more scriptures that you can look at, but these are the main ones that will identify that for you. And if you read them in this order, it'll help you a little bit. Matthew 17, 1 through 3. Matthew 16, 28. Revelations 11, 4. Zechariah 4, 3. And 4, 14. 1 Kings 17, 1. Exodus 34, 5. Revelations 11, 5. 2 Kings 1, 9 through 13. Numbers 16, 31 through 35. And Revelations 11, 6. If you didn't get all that, come talk to me later and I will... Where did you stop, brother? You got it? If you need those, just get with me after service, and I'll give them all to you. I can get them down for you. That'll be easier to do it that way probably anyway. I'll email them to you. He'll post it on the Facebook page. You can always go back and listen to the sermon again, right? See, there's multiple ways. You can excel in this church, man. You can do good. All right. But anyways, if you want to look into that, that is a good study. Like I said, I would go into it, but that's a long trail I don't want to go down right now because I'm still trying to stay focused. Amen. Revelation 14 and verse 1. Turn to Revelation 14 and verse 1. Revelation 14 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads." Now, I thought that was good right there because we talked about that whole adoption versus born and all that good stuff. You notice how he says his father's name? I'm just throwing that out there for any of y'all that remember that day. Verse 2 says, "And I heard a voice from heaven, and his voice as many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard that the voice of the harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So they will also be God's spokesmen on this earth during the tribulation." Revelation chapter 7 and verse 4 says, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." Now, I've talked about that a little bit before. You know that 144,000 are the 12 tribes of Israel. That's pretty clear, right? That's clear as mud to some of you. That's what the 144,000 are. They're going to be the 12 tribes of Israel. The reason why that is because Jesus Christ said what? He's going to set up his kingdom, right? He's going to set up his kingdom. That's also the reason why I believe in a tribulational period of time, a rapture. The rapture of the church, because we're not the same. Okay? You're not the same as that Jew. You never have been and you never will be. It doesn't work that way. I don't care how you try to make that fit. It does not fit. You cannot be the same as God's chosen people. You were bought with a price. It's different. You weren't born into that family of God like they were. That shouldn't upset you. It really shouldn't. Guess what? You got the better end of the deal. You truly did. You got in just a free gift of salvation. Said, here, just take it. All you got to do is accept it. That's all you got to do. Just accept it. And then guess what? You go to heaven. You go to heaven. So Jesus Christ is going to come back down to this earth. He's going to sit there and he's going to go in the clouds. We're going to meet him in the clouds, okay? That's cool, right? You're going to meet him in the clouds. That's pretty. It explains itself. 1 Thessalonians, just read it. Chapter 4, 13 through 18, okay? Just a little bit of scripture. Just a little bit. You're going to meet him in the clouds. That's where you're going to meet him. You're going to hear the trump. Boom. We go up, okay? That ain't when he's going to put his feet down on this earth. He ain't setting the kingdom up yet. He's going to. Things going to get bad that day. There will be some more trumpets. There will be. He'll come back again. He's going to come back again. And when he comes back the next time, guess what? He's going to split that mountain wide open. And what's he going to do? He's going to rage some more, ain't he? It's going to be bad. Then what's going to end up happening? He's going to set that kingdom up that he said he wanted to set up way back over yonder. Way back over there. You sit there and talk about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Some people say that's different. You find that in Matthew 13 too, by the way. Matthew 13, I can't remember right offhand. It's Matthew 13 towards the end of it, okay? You'll find that in there. They'll use one of those scriptures against a pre-tribulational rapture. And then you go down and you read one more scripture and it says, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are two totally different things. And the kingdom of heaven is probably not what you think it is. The kingdom of heaven is physical. The kingdom of God is spiritual. Make sense? You can see the heavens, right? The kingdom of heaven isn't a place you hadn't seen yet. Think about it. Just study it a little bit, okay? It'll help you. I promise. I am not trying to confuse you. I am trying to help you learn the Word of God. He's going to set up a kingdom. That's what He intended to do. That's the whole purpose of the Word of God, is to get to that kingdom at some point in time. God sits there and sees Jesus Christ die on that cross, and guess what? He loved you enough to allow His Son to be able to do that. But God's going to sit there and say, you know what? I'm going to give my Son what He deserves. I am going to give Him what He deserves. What He should have had over here, and He didn't get to do it then, but guess what? He'll do it right here. And He'll set that kingdom up, and He'll rule, and He'll reign. I'm glad I get to rule and reign with Him. Why? Because I'm the body of Christ. Body and bride, different things. Hey. See, it's not complicated. Just read it for what it says. Everybody wants to make the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the same thing. They don't even say the same thing. They can't be the same thing if they don't say the same thing. Do you really believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, or do you just act like it is? Okay? Guess what? The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, two different things. Guess what? The body and the bride are two different things. It's not complicated. Your members in particular, you have a different job. You have a different thing than the Jews did. Like I said, I don't want to make this complicated. I don't want to confuse you. I just want you to look at it for what it says. For once in all these years that you've been reading the Word of God, I just want you to pick it up and open it up and say, that's what it says. Guess that's got to be what it is. When He says it this way, I guess that's what He meant. And if it doesn't apply to me, guess what? I'm going to get what I can get out of it, and then I'm going to move on. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Every bit of it. You get tagged as a dispensationalist, they'll say, take your Bible away from you. Now, that's what hyper-dispensationalists do to you. I want to give it to you. I just want you to understand it when you have it. I had somebody say this to me the other day. I thought this was comical. It made me laugh, actually, out loud. I kind of felt bad because I laughed at it. But he sat there and he told me, he said, well, wasn't this, we were talking about James. I think that's what we were talking about. Because we were talking about different tribulations, periods of time, and all this kind of stuff. He said, James. He said, so you think James is tribulation? I said, yes. He said, but it was written over here. Okay. I said, Paul was written over here too. But yet you still believe Paul, right? I said, why you got to make it that complicated? It had application over here. But guess what? The Word of God's going to endure forever and ever, right? You believe that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was God. Right, guess what will be here in the end? The Word. It isn't going to go away. Paper form may get demolished, but guess what? The Word of God will be everlasting. Why? Because the Word of God is Jesus Christ Himself. He made Himself flesh, right, and dwelt among us. Guess what? He don't go anywhere. Eventually, He's coming back. But guess what? Don't you think this right here, if you're going through the tribulation period of time, don't you think you need a roadmap? If you're going through the tribulation period of time, guess what? You're going to need a roadmap. You're going to need something to be able to say, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is how I'm supposed to stay. This is how I'm supposed to be. Guess what? Them Jews going to need that. And the Gentiles are a little different. You're going to believe a lie. I done told you that. I've done showed you that in the Word of God. Those Gentiles, you can't endure to the end. Guess what? You already heard the gospel. What you going to do? You're going to believe a lie, right? God's going to cover up your eyes. You're not going to be able to see it anymore. What did I tell you would be the best thing for you to do? Go ahead and get the mark and just enjoy them next 7 years, because that's going to be the best you got it. If you find yourself and all of us are all gone and it hits you, which I don't think it will, but if it does hit you, just go ahead and get it and enjoy the rest of it. You get what you got left to enjoy. Because it's going to be bad once it's over. Buy, sell, gain, do all those things. It's going to be your opportunity to deal with it. But you're going to have a roadmap when you get there, right? So why wouldn't God want to say, hey, this is what they're going to need over here. It's got some application for here. But guess what? You're going to need it over here too. And then you say, well, and then he brought this up. Well, why do you care about it then? Well, because I want to know. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable, right? What did I tell you about James? James teaches you how to have faith, right? James teaches you how to have faith. He was good at that. Now, he's in a different dispensation. That's fine. But guess what? He can teach you a lot about faith. He teaches you a lot about how to have faith, how to have stronger faith, how to have more faith. Guess what? Why? Because our faith wavers, right? We've talked about that before. Your faith is wavering. It's good one moment, and the next moment it's not. You try to make your faith something that's more important than what it truly is, when in reality, hey, after you're saved, your faith should increase. Now, before you're saved, guess what? You ain't got no faith anyway. But after you're saved, your faith should increase. It should get stronger. You can find a lot of those things in James. You get into Revelations and you get to realize what the difference is. You get to see how this thing is going to pan out at the end. Guess what? That's good to know. Why? Because I want to understand the difference in hell and the lake of fire. It's two separate identities. Why do I want to understand that? Because it's easier for me to explain that to somebody who may be lost and dying and going to hell. That one day that you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. With the devil, who it was prepared for in the first place. I want you to understand about the new heaven and the new earth. I want you to understand, you take this into consideration. What exactly are you going to be doing once all this is over? You ever thought about that's part of your roadmap right there? You have to know what's going to happen at the end to see where you're going to be. That's how you know that you're a member in particular. You're a part of the body of Christ. You're different. You're different. Guess what? You're going to have a different job. You're going to get different rewards. That's a good one. Study that just a minute. That right there. Some people are so worried about what they're going to get in heaven. You're so worried about getting a mansion and getting a crown and all these things you can put up. Guess what? You're going to burn them before God anyway. You're going to lay them down at His feet. Guess what? If you don't get any of it, guess what? You still got heaven. And we can talk about that later. You want to ask me what I think about that? I'll tell you exactly what I think about it. You ain't going to like it, though. But guess what? It doesn't matter whether you get it or whether you don't. There's still application for that wood, hay, and stubble. You know why? It teaches you to live a good Christian life, right? Talks about putting up treasures in heaven. Does it apply to you? Not completely. Not completely. But guess what? The application is good. Why? Because you can look at it this way. If I can tell somebody else about Jesus Christ and they get to go to heaven and they don't have to spend eternity in hell, guess what? That's better than the wood, hay, and stubble, right? That's better than doing nothing. That's better than saying I'm a good Christian. And then you don't do anything but sit on a pew for the rest of your life. It's better than that. I'm going to move on. Y'all really look uncomfortable. All right, the spokesman of the millennium. We'll try to finish this one up, maybe, hopefully. The return of the Lord at His second coming will end the tribulation and begin the millennium. There can be no question as to the identity of God the Father's spokesman during this time. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself will be the spokesman, King and ruler during His literal, physical, and visible 1,000-year reign on earth. Revelation 19 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the furnaces, and wrath of," I can't see what I wrote, "of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture, on His thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." The next chapter in Revelation chapter 20 tells about the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of the King Jesus on this earth. Those living in the millennium had better listen to Him. He will be ruling with a rod of iron as a king who knows every thought, every action, and every secret thing. Boy, that right there will really open your eyes up. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine living in a time period where God sits there and He's ruling and reigning? He's not just ruling and reigning just softly. He's ruling and reigning with a rod of iron here. This is going to be serious stuff, okay? And He knows every thought that comes in your mind, every action you do. I think about that as application too. Have you ever thought that Jesus Christ still knows every thought that goes through your mind, every action that you do, everything that you think in your mind? Jesus Christ knows it. You try to hide it from everybody else. You can hide it from everybody in church, but you cannot hide it from Him. You cannot hide. You will not hide it from Him. Guess what? They're going to do the same thing in this day and age, but He's going to be ruling and reigning. He's going to know it. But it's going to be a little bit different because He's going to be a little harsher, right? Isaiah 66 and verse 23. "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." There will be no excuses for failing to follow the direction of King Jesus. God chooses to give His message through a spokesman when there has been no spokesman. Everyone has done his own thing or that which he was right in his own eyes. The world without a spokesman is not God's desired method of interacting with man. However, if man ignores God long enough, God will show man the result of His chosen direction by allowing him to choose his own direction with heavenly silence. That's what will happen. If you don't want to go with the spokesman that is in your dispensation, God will shut you off. He'll quit talking to you about it. It's a thing called past feeling. It's what the Word of God says. You can come to that point in time in your life where you become past feeling. I think a lot of people have come to that point in their life where they've just gotten to where they're complacent with where they are. They just want to be, they don't want to really know anything different than what they've always known. They don't really study the Word of God anymore because the preacher has to do that, right? Preacher's supposed to tell me everything I'm supposed to believe. Preacher's supposed to tell me everything I'm supposed to think. Well, guess what? There's a whole bunch of preachers. And they all preach a bunch of different things. So which one are you going to pick? The one that's in your church this week? Or the next one that comes? Or the next one down the road? Because I can guarantee you right now, you can take every preacher that's in Red Level, every church in Red Level, and they all preaching something different this morning. Or are you going to study it for yourself and actually get something out of the Word of God and know what you believe and why you believe it? I think I'm going to choose that route. I mean, you can do what you want to, but I think I'm going to go with that route, okay? Just because I get up here and say it doesn't mean you have to agree with it or believe it. Just you have to have Bible to back up what you do believe. I try to give you as much truth as I possibly can. I try to teach you as much stuff as I possibly can. But I try to teach it in a way that you'll actually go look at it for yourself. Not just take what I say and run with it. Don't get to that place in your life where you get past feeling and you don't worry about the things of God anymore because you're saved. Your eternity is settled now, so now you can just be. Don't be that kind of Christian. Don't be that kind of Christian. The Word of God is full of stuff to study. I couldn't exhaust it in my whole entire life. If God lets me live to be 90, I won't be able to exhaust it. I know God ain't going to let me live to be 100, so I ain't even going to say it. I couldn't exhaust it if I wanted to. I hope that you got something out of the Word of God this morning. I hope that you have enjoyed Sunday school, and I'm looking forward to preaching for you this morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Brother Rick, close us, please.